Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me in no particular order are the players and their level 5 characters. Caleb.
Hello, I'm playing Kaito Itata. I'm a Warforged Barbarian level 5.
Brayden.
Hey, I'm Brayden. I'm playing Beleg Dagar, half-elf Hexblade Warlock, also level 5.
Brandon.
Hey, I'm Brandon. I'm playing Ikaruk Poonschley. I'm a Bloodhunter, half-orc, level 5.
Tomo.
Hey, I'm Tomo. I'm playing Steve Tellyman, a level 5 Gloomstalker Ranger Boy.
P.S. We have a badger.
Krizblick.
Oh, Krizblick.
Previously on Dungeons and Blackguards.
Okay, guys, there's something different. Like, these guys are metal skeletons with wood outside.
You're living, though.
This isn't what I am.
They're the opposite of you.
Yeah, these are false creations.
Now, if...
Where are the other two?
They're being commanded. Means that something is commanding them, which possibly or probably means that the guy in the safe is of calling them to him or sending them some sort of message.
Oh yeah, Nafri got some splaining to do. They seemed like they were magically imbued. Their animations.
There is one more piece of information.
Looks like a hit list.
They're all crossed off.
Poonschley on there too. G. Poonschley.
Is there a Poonschley on there? I didn't even notice.
This G. Poonschley.
Oh yeah, nice.
Old Poonschley.
Yeah, Mr. Poonschley. I call the king of Paunch and Rook's dad.
Poonschley.
Derek Poonschley.
Old Gary Poonsch.
Haven't seen my pops in a while.
Well, it looks like he might be dead.
Better not be.
Old Gary's got some red ink through him.
Yeah, he's crossed out there, Rook. If you could, we'd like to question Nafri before you try.
I'm sure Nafri has an answer.
Yeah.
Nafri also has 10 fingers.
And I...
Yeah, we could change that.
I'd love to lower that count.
Rook, we gotta get Freddy out of there.
Yeah. Well, when we do, what the fuck do you want to do with him? Just hog tie him in the corner or something?
There was talks of him being our new Reek.
Yes, there were talks of him being our new Reek.
Has he been trained enough to be a Reek?
I'm not doing good in here!
It's Freddy.
Welcome to your new life.
And this attic level here clearly has two sides, and you've found, Steve, a large chest. This one is almost identical to the one in Nafri's chamber.
I'm also very intrigued by this room, but I think time sensitivity would put Nafri first.
Yeah, I'm going to wait for the rest of the party to get back and again suggest that we need to separate these two and do some interrogating.
I want to interrogate Nafri.
So, Rob, what is this room here, then? It's got, you said, a chest and a box. It looks like it has, like, combat dummies or mannequins. A little boxing ring of sorts.
Yeah, you've named all these items in the room.
Is this Steve's new rumpus room?
Did you open a chest at all last session, Steve?
Yep. What do you guys think that long platform is?
Like over here? This one?
Yeah, what Beleg and Steve are now looking at. Yeah.
Well, it's obviously a teeter-totter.
A balance beam.
It's about 20 feet long platform, about 2.5 feet wide. Oh, and as both of you stand at each end of this and turn and face each other.
Kumite.
Fight
dukes. Like, put up your dukes.
Might be some sort of fencing or, you know, dueling raised platform.
Let's do it. Let's do it, Steve. Quick. I got my D20 in my hand.
And Rook, you are moving through Bartio's office, and Rook has just crashed through the window, Peleg.
Just cannonballed.
What's up?
And can you make a dexterity saving throw, Rook, as Steve's sword comes clattering out?
Oh, I'm not set up for this yet. One sec. Oh.
I wasn't expecting this impromptu-ness.
Wait, weren't you the guy who just crashed through a window?
I was gonna say.
Dexterity? Mm. What is my dex? Oh, I'm a plus two, baby.
You may have a chance.
Plus two, baby.
Yeah. Oh, also, that's a nice five.
Bravo.
Well, Beleg definitely turns to look. Steve, this is your opportunity to beat me in a fencing match.
Steve pokes Beleg the Chris.
No! No! I'm so beautiful!
You get shaving Chris.
No, I would avoid that.
No eyebrows.
So, Rook, you have taken... Ouch! 4 damage. This heavy window that was on like rope, like a little rope pulley system, comes crashing down. And Steve's sword, you barely noticed it as you barreled through here, was the only thing propping up this heavy thing. I mean, it's probably like, you know, 30 pounds coming down on your ankle. And there you are, pinned, Rook. You are there, like prone with your right ankle up in the window, caught there. Beleg and Steve, you guys are still facing off, but he's right there. Yeah.
I ignore Rook and challenge Steve to a... You're a short sword, right, Steve?
Yeah.
I challenge him to a short sword duel. And I hexy blade. Make a short sword.
Wait, you get bonuses for hexing blade stuff, don't you?
Yeah, but it's not a great weapon. Or not a polearm, so...
Yeah, but you still get bonuses. I get to throw stuff at you, then.
No way! No. You're gonna explode my head! Beleg sprints towards him and tackles him!
Steve dodges.
Pokes him with the shaving Chris.
Hunger of the dark! Hunger of the dark!
Well, Steve, your short sword, you do have a short sword.
Oh, I did, I guess. It's in the window, or was in the window.
But it just flew inwards from the window.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what level of that duel you guys wanted to cut it off at, but if you want to roll a dex as Beleg comes at you, Steve, that sounds definitely like part of what's happening.
Can I retcon initiative?
Because I win initiative.
can I retcon my the short sword that I summoned to be like a practice short sword?
Okay, it's dulled. Okay, you have summoned a dulled short sword, and Steve, yeah, you've been challenged, but honestly, your short sword is way over there on the floor, okay, beside Rook.
So I've got nothing in my hands and he's attacking me?
Nothing at the moment, but I mean, you have 20 feet. So, I mean, that's going to take... You have like 3, 4, 5 seconds to react. What are you going to do?
I toss the shaving Chris at him.
Oh, you're a cunty motherfucker.
Okay, so what would you like... Roll against AC.
Are we rolling initiative?
He goes first. Let's see. I don't think he'll advance. Just roll a d20 and roll a d20 Beleg.
Okay.
I don't want to evolve.
Oh my god. Natural 20.
Okay.
You're kidding me.
No. Plus 8.
No.
Okay. And what is your dex, Beleg?
My dex is 15.
Oh,
plus,
okay.
Yeah, so it's plus 2.
Natural 20.
And so you got 17.
I will not be bald!
Okay.
this... I will use everyone's inspiration.
at the moment, this Chris is grazing your skin, Beleg. It has flown towards you as from Steve's poncho, and it has flown at you, and at the moment, a 17 is not going to do it.
I didn't do a sharpshooter shot, so I'm not going to do any damage.
Yeah. Significant. Now, at the moment, I'd say, now you can use, hey, man, this is D&D. Don't think outside the paper, man.
I know.
Think outside your skills. But at the moment, simply a dex saving throw. Hey, you can cross it off your list. Team 100 challenge.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
dex saving throw.
I've already done a dex saving throw.
Yeah.
But otherwise, oh my god, the hair is starting to disappear around the cut.
The dagger,
if we're just shooting this shit right now, having fun, can I like try an acro out of it?
Okay.
I'm gonna try and like back handspring away from this shit. Oh, that's a nat 20!
What's your so plus 2, so 22?
Yeah, if it's acrobatics that I'm rolling,
yeah,
it's plus 5.
Doesn't meet my nat 20 plus 8.
So what you've done here is just as this thing grazed you, it seems like you've prevented it taking the full effect. But Beleg, you have lost half of all the hair on your neck, above your ear, and almost up to your scalp, and your eyebrow is gone.
Oh, I'm missing an eyebrow?
Steve stealths.
The shaming Chris now clatters against the wall and the dusty floor here on the third floor.
Belly picks it up.
No.
Belly picks it up.
Okay, yeah, no, you could, you're now in running distance to pick that up. It would have fallen near where Rook has fallen through the window.
Yeah.
Steve, Beleg, can you roll stealth?
Yep.
Beleg, you are now holding the shaming Chris.
That's an 18.
I am chasing Steve through the planet.
Plus 6.
All right. At the moment, Beleg, all you can tell, can you... What's your passive perception? Like,
it's not that good. Like 12?
12. At the moment, all you would have seen as you bent over to pick up the shaming Chris was a little bit of Steve's poncho. But you weren't sure where he went to.
So I stop and I yell at Steve, holding the shaming Chris, and go, worth it. And now I added it to my inventory. Fuck you, Steve.
I'm gonna pick his pocket for the shaming Chris.
Okay, can you make a dexterity check, Steve, as you put it into your bag, Beleg? I'd like you to make a perception.
Oh my god, that's a natural 20 again!
Are you kidding me? I don't believe this!
I'll send you the picture!
Rook, can you make a strength check, please?
Strength?
I love D&D minigames.
Oh my god, this is ridiculous.
That's a 19 plus 3, so 22.
You have freed yourself, half-orc, and you manage now to get up, and you're seeing there Beleg whipping around, and around his cloak you see a dark gray shadow. And Steve, what was your sleight of hand for pickpocketing?
It was a natural 20.
Right. Okay, plus what, like...
Three? For okay. Sleight of hand.
And what's your perception roll there, Beleg?
Oh, it was a 10.
Okay, Beleg, you feel like you properly stowed that Chris away.
Hey, Rump,
and you can go ahead and
room?
Add the shaming Chris to your inventory, Beleg.
Oh, shit. It's in there.
Hey, Rump, is there a bar in this room? I want to go over and have a beer. And have a small rest. Short rest. Sit, I, drink.
So you're feeling thirsty as you look at Beleg whip around. And now, Steve, what are you doing? As you will either have to make another stealth check, or I would say move. Rook, you have discovered a roughly, what is that, a 10 by 10 sort of raised platform with ropes around it. Steve, can you make that stealth roll, please?
Yeah. I'm running and I'm gonna make some space with me and Belling.
And then, Rook, you are now looking. Can you roll investigation, please, Rook?
Oh, my God.
Rook, as you explore the room here that your foolish companions are darting about.
not natural 20. Just 16 plus 4.
This is what happens.
Natty.
D&D minigames are fun.
There is a little bit right where you are of sort of a crumbling or a seam in the wall.
And
what was that roll, Steve, as you dart across this large open space, what you guys thought might be like a target range, the 60-foot expanse, what'd you get?
16 altogether.
Oh, okay, Beleg, you have seen now, just as you whip around, you feel this gust of air, and you saw your companion make off to the southeast corner. You see him fly out one of these windows, and this window was hard to pry open, Steve. Like, it took you a moment, and that's when Beleg must have seen you. So you are now cornered, Steve, by Beleg. And Beleg, you sort of approached him at the window here. And you are now seen, Steve. There is an approximately 28-foot drop down and to the next building over. Say it's about a 14-foot leap, and it's about 2 feet downwards. The white chain is slightly taller than the adjacent buildings.
I want to wrestle Steve.
Want to not wrestle Beleg.
Okay, so if you wrestled him, you would be on, I'd say, like about a 20 degree, decline. So both of you do have a risk of falling off the roof.
I'm going to...
Although Beleg is not wise.
No. Beleg is like, yeah, fuck you.
If he's jumping at me, I am going to dodge out of the way at the last second.
Okay, would you like to make are you making a grappling check, or are you just rolling to stomp him?
I want to grapple.
Can you roll to grapple, and then can you roll to avoid that grapple, either acrobatics, please, Steve.
Acrobatics, yeah. His athletics versus my acrobatics.
Oh, that's not a good one. I think he ducked under my armpit.
I got a 16.
Okay.
I got a 6.
Okay, Beleg, you have just missed, like you described, Steve's position. And Steve, you know, as you lift your arm up and kind of dart away, you see Beleg start to lose his footing.
If he's going to tumble off, I'm going to grab his cloak and keep him from falling off.
Can you make an athletics check?
Okay. It's not terrible.
And Beleg, your one foot is out in thin air as you have stumbled so far that your momentum cannot be reversed on your own.
Oh, I got a 10.
Okay, Beleg, can you make a dexterity saving throw?
Oh no.
I have a healing spell. I'll leave it for you at the bottom of the building.
Did we get any inspiration last session?
Beleg, you have one from last session.
Well, I have zero now. Wow, that's even worse. Well, that's a 9. 7 plus 2.
Okay, so Steve, as you reach out with your hand, you were trying to grab him, you missed him with your hand, and Beleg, you are now falling downwards.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
There is really nothing to stop your fall. Can you think of anything in the split second now that you are free falling?
I'd like to stick my hands out and run them along the side of the building, hoping that I feel something to grab onto, and then hopefully like grab it and then flip.
Can Steve cast upside down rope trick?
Oh, nice. Okay, so yeah, sure. But like hands upward and grasping against whatever wall you might be able to reach out to. You're going to cast rope trick. Okay. How long can that reach?
It's to a length of 60 feet away.
Okay, well, guys, a fall from great height is one of the most common hazards facing any adventurer. At the end of a fall, a creature takes 1d6 damage for every 10 feet it fell. As I described just moments ago, this is an approximately 30-foot fall.
So I can cast it directly underneath him. And then an invisible entrance opens to an extra-dimensional space that lasts until the spell ends. The space can hold as many as 8 medium or smaller creatures, and then the rope can be pulled into the space, making the rope disappear for you from outer space. Attacks and spells can't cross the entrance into or out of the extra-dimensional space, but those in the guide can see out of it as if through a 3-foot by 5-foot window centered on the rope.
Okay, so Beleg, there you are. You are now probably halfway down, and Steve, you're going to be able to just kind of see downwards. I'll probably give you this. My friend Beleg, your floppy wizard's hat, your nimble hat, is definitely going to half probably one of the D6s as it almost helps you like parachute down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it's not doing much for you, but okay, Steve, can you describe how your rope dimension helps him lower his fall and not take a nasty crash onto the cobblestones below?
So I guess from your point of view, but like as you're falling, you're watching the roof and the sky, and the roof is falling away from you, and then suddenly it's framed, like the reality is framed by like a weird psychedelic multicolored universe, and there's just now a window snapshot of Steve looking it down at you from the side of the roof.
Yeah.
It's soft and nice, and it's pretty all right. Some like strange ambient noise, possibly music going on.
And is Stolas in there?
I don't know. Maybe he's
I like to think that's where Stolas hangs out.
He's just sitting on a cushion that looks like a strange psychedelic Galaxian octopus.
How do you feel about the damage that Beleg might have received, Steve, due to your rope trick? That was a great description. I shuddered to give him any damage.
It's a safe spot. It is a college campus of D&D. It is a safe spot. So it just catches him like a soft, well-worn catcher's mitt. What he's kind of experiencing now is like a vision of our reality in a 3 by 5 foot window, and he's inside what is like the strange impermanence of like the ethereal plane.
Belly has an anxiety attack.
No kidding, man. Rope trick. That sure does sound pretty mundane until you actually cast it.
It's soft.
Belly grabs his closes around near you. Speech. And is like, hey, Steve, how do I get out of here?
I guess Steve is holding onto the rope that's like on his belt, and it's leading into
the pocket dimension.
Yeah, it's basically the rope is kind of like the rope ladder up to a kid's treehouse, except it goes to the ethereal plane, and
okay. Friends can get him. Steve, as you hear Beleg shout for you, Rook, we're going to cut back to you as
Rook, help,
your two friends here have taken it upon themselves to turn a mild-mannered sparring match into a game of extra-dimensional life-death, falling, and rescue.
He's in my treehouse!
You cut my hair off! Forever!
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of letting them do their own thing. I'm more interested. What can I see through this deteriorating little crack here?
Right. What would you do here? I mean, as you maybe prod at it with your hands, that doesn't really seem to do much, but you are clearly maybe feeling a vertical seam in the wall here.
Can I do a... first thing would be like a arcana check just to see if there's any sort of magic to it.
Roll that sweet, sweet arcana.
So that one's going to be a 14.
And you're not sensing anything in front of you on this wall with this seam in the masonry. None whatsoever.
Can I push on it and see if it will open or...
Yeah, sure. As you lay your hands and push on it, you would notice that there are corresponding horizontal and vertical seams about a foot and a half away, quite narrow, but that seem to make the outline of a hidden door. And just as you push it, you know, a little bit of dust sort of crumbles and falls.
Welcome, friends, adventurers, and listeners to The Break. DM Robulon here. Thank you, as always, for following our story. And for your commendable patience while the release of Season 3, Episode 1 was delayed, we hope that the wait is worth it. In the meantime, we've been running a truly epic giveaway where one lucky entrant will receive a custom laser-engraved Nat 20 Advantage Dice Box from Dragonburn Designs. Well, the giveaway has now concluded, and we have a winner. Congratulations, Barb Life. At Brewhammer315 on Twitter, you have won this gorgeous item. What better place to keep your dice and gaming accessories than this stunning, handmade, laser-engraved with the Dungeons and Blackguards logo wooden box made of the finest materials. Please, friends and adventurers, check out Dragon Burn Designs. They are at Nat20DiceBox on Twitter. And you can find their wares for sale easily on Etsy if you just search for Dragon Burn Designs. Thank you again to all who entered, and as Season 3 of Dungeons and Blackguards progresses, stay tuned for our next big milestone and giveaway event. And now, we return to Season 3, Episode 1 of Dungeons and Blackguards.
And just as you push it, you know, a little bit of dust sort of crumbles and falls.
Does it move at all when I push on it?
It does not give, except for this first hair's breadth of movement.
Can I start, I guess I'm going to further look at the door and the wall around and see if maybe there's like a secret little brick to push or pull on to open it?
Yeah, for sure. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to start initially by looking at the door to see if there's anything within that door, and then if I'm not seeing, then I'm going to start looking around.
There is not anything evident about this, you know, rectangular shape here, this seam in the masonry that might show, you know, a handle or a latch or a keyhole or a, you know, an opening.
Then I'll further my gaze to the rest of the kind of outline bricks and the rest of the room.
Rook, you would see quickly that it's this one continuous wall, and it does have a strange kind of arbitrary kind of diagonal path to it, And the masonry is a little rough, but as you explore it end to end, where the masonry has given way, you actually, you see what you think might be the back, you know, the proper brickwork of the wall of a room.
Can I pull, move those bricks around that I can see through? Like, can I fingers yeah, through sure. it or hands through it or
is it open? Yeah, as you take a brick or two away, you are looking in a tiny little hole, just, you know, 4 inch by 2 inch, at Bartillo's office.
So that's the place that I just ran through and crashed through the window?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that what it looks like the door leads to?
It appears like, you know, you've opened a little peephole. This was more like right in the center.
Okay. Can I check around the features in the room to see if there's any latches, like underneath a desk or a table? Or
yeah, and as you do so, and that would be as you turn around, and you've had a good while as your friend Steve and Beleg flew out the window there. You've had a good while now in the silence to really ponder and look over the targets and the knocked over equipment and the crates and this chest. And nothing seems to stand out, Rook, as, I mean, there isn't some, you know, mechanism like you found on the other side that was clearly connected to the door. And nothing at the moment. Can you roll perception? And then, guys on the outside, how have you resolved this, Steve, as you hold the rope into the extra-dimensional void? Beleg, as you probably, you know, check your constitution, what are you doing?
I guess I'm looking for a rope to grab to leave. Trying to find a way out. I want to come back into our dimension.
I think there's a rope that is either nearby or within arm's reach. No, Steve?
Yeah. It's from what I understand, you can grab it if you feel the need, and then usually what happens is you climb into it and you can pull the rope up so nothing else can climb in after you. So I imagine the other side is attached to me.
Okay. Well, I will grab onto that rope and try and climb out.
I'm going to try my best to... I don't know how... Like, I mean, if I've got extra, I think Steve's going to look for some place he can wrap the rope around that he can... I'm thinking, like, over here? Around the post of one of these things and try to pull the weight up.
Yeah, that works. Like, okay.
Or else come works. In and like put his feet up against the wall here and just start hauling the rope up. I can use a strength check because that would be taking that off the list.
Yeah, why don't you roll that, and as you tighten the rope and shore it up against one of these pieces of the building here, so it's not your weight.
Yeah. I guess yeah. I'm trying to.
Okay. Yeah, Beleg, you see this arc of rope swing towards you as, you know, the extra dimensional planes soar and swirl about your psyche.
And do I get out?
Roll a dexterity saving throw.
16 for the strength check.
Nice. No problem.
Yes.
That's a 9 plus 2, so an 11.
Can you roll a wisdom saving throw, Beleg?
Yep.
And as long as you can stay concentrated, you can grab that rope.
Oh, I can. That's a 19 plus... What? Yeah, so 20.
Beautiful. So, you know, although it was no easy move, and as you try, it's sort of like, you know, kicking and swimming when there's no gravity, there's nothing to push against. And as you grab out to hold the rope, I mean, it's not easy by any fashion, but you grit your teeth, Beleg, and you look right at it. You can just grab it, and you are now yanked back into the light of day.
Do I see Steve? Is he right there?
Okay, so you're hanging 15 feet down on the rope then, Beleg.
And like Steve's pulling the, like, yes, hand over hand pulling the rope up, like making it shorter as
Beautiful. Yes.
And I'm like wall walking up.
Yes, certainly. Yeah, wall walking up. And now you are over the edge of the shingled roof here, and you see Steve is the person who's been helping you up.
I gave him a big ol' a bro hug. Just like grab his forearm and pull him in and give him a pat on the back.
Steve's not ready for hugs.
Do I have to do a grapple check?
As soon as I see he's up and he's not in danger anymore, the rope is like out of hand and Steve is taken off.
Oh, I full on go for the hug.
Yeah, Beleg, although Steve has retracted his rope, yeah, make a quick grapple check as you go in for a hug. Steve, can you make a dexterity saving throw?
Steve's gonna acrobatics out of that grapple.
Jesus. You're lucky I'm so bad at rolling.
That's a 22 for Steve. He's out of there. He's fucking gone.
Yeah, that's an 8.
Beleg, as you cock an eye, the eyebrowless eye, and Steve...
Sorry! He's running off.
Steve, you run headlong across over near to Rook, who seems to be sort of enchanted by over near that raised, maybe dueling or fencing area. And Beleg, you managed to scramble up, and now you're just at the edge of the roof that leads back through the window into the third floor training room side, the danger room.
I wouldn't mind going to meet up with Rook.
And my perception there, Rama, was 15.
You clearly get the impression that the rectangular outline of what might be, a hidden door, that would roughly match to the back of the safe area. And as you look through the little peephole that you've created here by removing a brick or two into Bartillo's office, you do a little survey again and confirm your suspicion. You're pretty confident you know what corresponds to what.
Okay. Found another way into our safe room here, boys. Not sure how to open it yet, but they might be able to get out. They know how to work this door or get in.
Steve likes
figure it out.
Steve likes this room.
And you guys have all rejoined. And if you're close to that door, you guys start to hear a muttering.
Uh-oh. Coming from?
Right where Rook is standing.
What is this muttering?
Yeah, can everybody roll perception?
No.
That is a 20. No, sorry. 19. Pardon me.
Mine's a not natural 20.
Belly's a 12. Pretty good for him. Plus 1, so a 13.
Oh, you guys now hear a knocking as well. Sort of a dim metallic knocking, now muffled through this, this wall here. But you recognize it to be the sort of call and response of the plaintive knocking of Freddy, and every once in a while the answering, mocking rapping of your friend Kaitoa. And then that muttering much closer to you, Rook, a sort of low muttering. You really can't make it out, but when you get near to the seams of this door shape here in the wall, and if you put your ear right against it, yeah, you can almost hear somebody talking, but it's just too far through.
Can I send Stolas in to check? I can, like,
you know what the room looks like, so you should be able to.
I can phase him in, as far as I know, like 30 feet.
You could safely put him on the other side of the wall and be pretty sure that you'll vortex him into the Hurt Locker.
I'm going to turn.
I will do that.
To do so, you will have to go near to Beleg and reapproach your companions.
I do it in stealth.
Can you roll stealth as you try and kind of keep a rook between you and Beleg?
Yeah, I'm like inside the fold of Rook's rope again. That's a 17 plus my stealth, so 23.
Okay. So I you like pop to think in. That Beleg noticed all of this effort that Steve's putting in and just rolls his eyes. And like, you fucking child.
At this point, Beleg's over it. And you're... you're able quickly as you go back through the rook cape. There you are, and you emerge, and as you put your hand against the wall, you can kind of cast Stolas through, and as you pop him through, well, there's Nafri, and he is the one muttering right in that very same corner that you hear coming from, this murmuring and muttering. He's still got a couple hours left of, you know, a very important suggestive activity, and there's Freddy Fingers in the opposite corner. Other than that, Stolas sees the, you know, the same sort of roughly, what is it, like 10 by 15 square room.
Okay.
And the rapping on the door is indeed loud. You can only assume your friend Kaitoa. You hear her laughing. Every once in a while.
It's just... But it's not affecting Nafri. He's still in his thrall.
It doesn't seem to be.
Okay. I guess that's enough. That's enough for me. If as long as he's... As long as he's not... he's not broken the spell.
I'm going to kind of turn and head... Say, oh, I'm going to go back to the other side and see if there's a switch for this door within the room there. You guys want to stay here and see if I can open it from this side?
I can help you. I can help you find it if you like.
No, I think you should stay here with Beleg, don't you?
No. No, I can help.
Is tonight going to have some serious relationship implications for us?
Well, if you want to help, sure. I'm just going to go and see if there's another switch. Beleg, you stay here, so that way if we pop it open, they don't go run away.
Don't worry, I have the shaming Chris to fuck potentially.
Let me go through the window that I busted open anyways. Whoop, whoop. There we go.
The construct is kind of dutifully and loyally with the badger standing guard outside the Hurt Locker.
Do I look around? I mean, I know which kind of switch opens the door from this end. Can I look to see if there's any sort of similar type of contraption within this room that isn't that one? Could do the back door.
Can you roll a d6?
Oh, that's nice. A number one.
A nat one?
Yeah.
No bueno.
You know, you cannot locate any similar mechanism to the one that opened, you know, quite smoothly and obviously quite a well-engineered thing. There's nothing like that on this side. You kind of poke around, and then you arrive back in Bartio's office, and you kind of look at his desk and the chair that sit there and that pedal, but there's nothing like that.
Nothing like that. Is there anything within his office that looks like it could be something that would open that door, like a switch or some sort of hidden switch?
As you go through, I don't know, yeah, we've been through his desk before, but as you go through his desk and move stuff around, Rook, and perhaps, you know, your blood is starting to boil a little bit, but you remember how I got this jewel, and you look down at your ankle, and it is just fucked. It is not looking good. That window frame came down on it real hard. And as you've been kind of walking around, you realize now, like, ah, man, I gotta stay off this ankle here, man. You're not in Bartio's office for long before you give up. There just seems to be nothing in the way of, as you said, like a lever or a mechanism.
Okay, well, then I'm going to put my leg up and have a short rest.
For this door, is it? Can Steve check to see if it's magical in nature or if it's mechanical? Like, and if so, finding like any traces of sort of a coupling to a way to open it by way of wall or otherwise?
Okay, as you look over this, and Rook has now kind of left the scene. He did roll Arcana on it as well, but as you look at it from a, you know, from all perspectives, it's a seam in a wall. The seam only goes in maybe like a half an inch, a half a knuckle. Yeah, there's, I mean, you can roll Arcana on it, you can roll Investigation on it. You've been looking at it now for your, you know, some time.
Would Perception work rather than Investigation?
In fact, some time has indeed passed. You said Perception instead of Investigation? Yeah, roll that +6.
Yeah, I like that. I've already done Investigation too, it's off my list. That is 18 +6, so 24.
Steve, you feel that maybe there isn't a way to open it from this side.
So it's just the one way.
Perhaps this is a one-way entrance passageway from one side to the other.
Hmm.
And that the logical only other place for a opening mechanism to be would be in the Hurt Locker.
Oh, God. But
that's a bridge to cross at a different time, I think.
I'm just trying to make sure that there's no way for this to really affect the escape of should he come to.
Well, that, my friends, actually is a great place to leave you tonight on this abridged episode of Dungeons and Blackguards.
I feel a bridge.
A bridge too far?
Yes. Don't worry. Steve will lose hair at some point.
Might be dueling after all.
Honestly, I was like, yeah, I was going to bro hug you, like I said, and just try and do a quick sleight of hand check. Just a little nick.
No, Steve doesn't want to be touched.
Oh, I know. Steve will be touched.
No.
Yes.
It wasn't my fault. You came at me with a weapon. I wasn't prepared.
It's a dulled weapon.
I was empty-handed. Those daggers, man, they're faster than Steve.
Well, there will be some debate later on the fate of that. Chris and Beleg, yeah, you have a great haircut. Very avant-garde.
That's a good word for it.
But you guys probably fast forwarded about half an hour there. So boy, oh boy, is the jewel looming. And this is like two penultimate Game of Thrones episodes.
I know. That's okay. You know what? I got to roll some dice. So it's like it curbs the craving for the rest of the week.
Well, that was a fun episode.
It was fun.
It was cute. I finally got to use my rope trick.
And you know the Chris works.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely works.
Yeah, Ballet knows the Chris works too.
Oh, fuck. That was pretty funny.
Can't believe Caleb's not here.
Yeah.
Nice little notebook for all my notes. It's wonderful.
No, that's dumb.
You know what? It's the only thing that I keep. I keep analog notes for. It's the only thing I own where I keep notes in manually.
This is almost getting to be as long as a like '90s sitcom run.
Yeah, pretty damn close.
Like 23 episodes in a season.
I couldn't believe it when you posted the episode. like episode 20. Are you fucking kidding me? We've managed to do this every single week. Pretty amazing. Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
We're approaching 6 months of consistency.